third chapter for tonight. We started there this morning and gave you the first, I guess, thought from this scripture. And so we'll finish that tonight. And we rejoice in what the Lord did this morning and thankful for that. God sure is good. And let's keep praying. We want to pray not only for Matt that was saved this morning, but we want to pray that God sends us others to be saved. We need to go out and invite them, go into the highways and the hedges and compel men and women to come in that God's house might be filled. And we want to see people get saved and baptized and join the church. That's what our goal and our mission is. We should never forget that. That's what we're here for. And so let's press toward that. All right, if you're in John chapter 3 and you want to stand, you can do that now. We'll do like we did this morning. We'll read those first seven verses, and we'll preach the last two thoughts. I don't expect to be very long, and you pray for me, though, because I'll need it. John chapter 3, verse 1, "And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. And marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Father, add your blessings, we pray, to your word tonight. Lord, help us to decrease so that you can increase. We pray this in Jesus' name, and amen. We began in chapter number 3 this morning by talking about this Pharisee named Nicodemus that comes to Jesus by night. And I told you that I had entitled this message, Losing Sleep and Looking for Answers. I believe when Nicodemus comes to Jesus in chapter number 3, he is at a crisis moment in his life. I said that. I believe that he is troubled. He doesn't know what is troubling him. You and I know that it was the Spirit of God that was moving in his heart, bringing him to this place of salvation. Nicodemus didn't know all that, though. And I'm glad that when we come to God, can I say in passing, when we come to God, we don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to know all the doctrinal truths of Scripture. You don't have to explain eschatology and theology. All you got to do is know that you are lost and that He is the Savior, and that's good enough for salvation, and I'm glad for that, aren't you? I didn't know it all the night I come to Christ. I didn't know a fraction of what I know today, and I still don't know it all. But Jesus didn't ask me to know it all. He just asked me to come. And Nicodemus didn't know what was going on in his life, but God was drawing him. When he comes saying, Master, we've seen the miracles. And Jesus didn't want to talk about miracles. Jesus had a message. And so I gave you that first thought, which was the sermon. Jesus preached to Nicodemus a sermon. But I'll give you the last two thoughts tonight. Not only do I see the sermon, you must be born again, but also I see the symbols in our text. Not only the sermon, but the symbols. Look at verse number 3. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. While it is true that Nicodemus was a good man and a very smart man, it is also clear from the way that he responds to Christ in our text that he was a man that was far away from God. Because it is clear that Nicodemus does not understand what Jesus is talking about when he says, you must be born again. You have to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus gives him some illustrations to help understand. He gives him the illustration of birth. He gives him the illustration of the wind and the illustration of the serpent. He begins in verse number 3 and following by giving him the illustration of birth. Now, birth is something that we're all familiar with, is it not? Everyone living is familiar with birth because we have been there and done that. You don't remember it, but you did it. And you're here, you're living, so you have been born. Nicodemus would have been familiar with that. Therefore, Jesus starts with something he is familiar with, and he says, you have to be born again. Nicodemus knew what it meant to be born. Now Jesus is saying, you got to do it again. You must be born again. The phrase born again in this passage of Scripture, verse number 3, literally means another or from above. That's what that phrase means, another or from above. So Jesus is saying this, you have to have another birth, or I like this translation, you have to be born from above. He said, if you're going to enter the kingdom of God, you got to be born of water and the Spirit. Now, I'm not going to get too much into the science of childbirth, but we know the first time a child enters into this world, they do it through a birth, and it involves water. What we hear a woman say, her water broke, and that child enters this world, that water birth. But Jesus said, you've got to have another. You got to be born of the Spirit. You got to be born from above. If you are going to be saved, you have to be born again. On January the 10th, 1979, 41 years ago, I was born into this world. I was born by water. I was born into this world. But on February 23rd, 1993, 14-year-old kid, I was born again. I had another birth. I was born from above. I was born in the Spirit. I was born again. Jesus said, you got to be born again if you're going to enter the kingdom of God. Hey, the first birth prepared me for this world. The next birth prepares me for another world. Amen. The first birth made me a citizen of earth, but the second birth made me a citizen of heaven. I'm not going to talk too much about it tonight, but we can see the similarities. Hey, a birth involves pain, does it not? Ask one of the mamas that's in the room. They go through pain for 9 months, and then they go through the jaws of death to get that baby into this world. Birth involves pain. Our Savior, He bore our shame. He bore our sorrows. He was bruised and afflicted, wounded and stricken. Hey, he was in pain on Calvary. It took some pain to get us born again, amen. I could talk about the fact that being born involves parents, does it not? It involves parents. But being born again involves parents. He said you got to be born of water and of Spirit. Being born into this world involves possibility. There's possibility. When a child is born, we like to say, well, they could be anything. This might be the next president. This might be the next preacher. This might be the next whatever, superstar. But being born again comes with all sorts of possibility. There's joy unspeakable and full of glory. He's given us an eternal home in heaven. The possibilities are endless when we are born again. But I don't want you to see all of that. I guess I shouldn't have said so much if I didn't want you to see it. But this is what I do want you to see. I want you to see the urgency in this new birth. I remember when both of our girls were born, there comes a certain point in that labor process where the nurse got a little more urgent than she was the rest of the day. And she come in there and she said, okay, honey, it is time and you're going to push. You're going to push for everything that you're worth. There's some urgency. It was time. And now Jesus is saying that this new birth comes with some urgency. He does not say in our text, I want you to think about being born again. That's not what he says. He does not say, I might consider being born again if I was you. No, no, no. What the Savior says is this. Ye must be born again. Do you hear the urgency That must comes bold letters, capital letters in my mind. Ye must be born again. There's urgency in that. You have to be born again if you're going to see the kingdom of God. That is a decision to make. It is a decision we all must make, and it is a decision to make today. Don't put it off to tomorrow or the day after that. Jesus is saying to all of us tonight, ye must be born again. So there's the illustration of the birth. I'm using my imagination now. It may not have happened this way, but maybe about that time as Nicodemus and Jesus sits in that night climate, maybe around a campfire, maybe about that time the wind blew by. And so Jesus says this in verse number 8. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whether it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. If the illustration of the new birth displays the urgency of salvation, then the display of the illustration of the wind displays the witness of salvation. Nicodemus was a teacher of the Jews. Therefore, Nicodemus would have been very familiar with the Old Testament prophets. And I wonder when Jesus said, the wind blows, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I wonder if Nicodemus' mind did not go back to Ezekiel in that valley of dry bones. You remember the story. God takes Ezekiel to a valley full of dead dry bones. And he said, man of God, will these bones live again? He said, thou knowest. And he said, prophesy to the bones. And Ezekiel prophesied. And the Bible said the bones come upon bones. And they stood there. But there was no life in them. And so God speaks again and said, man of God, prophesy to the wind. And he prophesied to the wind. And the Bible says that the wind blew upon those bones. And they become an army. They become alive. They had new life inside of them. And Jesus is now saying that is just like being born again. That is just like being born of the Spirit. In the Greek and Hebrew, both the word wind and spirit are interchangeable. He said, so is everyone, as the wind blows, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You see, the wind blows upon an individual. They don't see it coming. They don't see it going. They can't explain all of it, but it's the good Holy Ghost as he moves upon the heart of a lost individual, and he brings them to a place of salvation. He brings them to a place of conviction and conversion, and then he saves them and redeems them, births them into the family of God. They don't see it coming. They don't see it going. They can't really explain it all. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It's like the wind, Nicodemus, he says. I'm going to say something right here. I hope you understand what I'm about to say. You and I that have been saved would have to agree that salvation is a mysterious thing. You can't fully explain to me how salvation works, and I can't fully explain it to you. I'm learning new things about the doctrine of salvation all the time. But although we can't explain it, we can testify that when salvation came, we felt its results, and we've been seeing its results ever since. Is that right or not? I can't tell you what all I can't tell you what all took place in my life the night that I accepted Christ as my Savior. I said a minute ago that I didn't have it all figured out that night. I still don't. But I can testify to you that ever since the day I met Jesus Christ, I have been able to feel the effects of salvation. You don't see the wind coming, but you feel it when it blows by. You don't see the wind coming, but you hear it when it blows by. You don't see the wind coming, but you see the trees sway when it comes by. I could not see the Holy Ghost that night. I could not understand all that was coming on. But I know that after I have been saved, I have been convicted when I've done some things wrong. You know what that is? That's the breeze of the Holy Spirit, the witness of salvation. I've been concerned about some things that never concerned me before. I've felt the leading of the Holy Spirit in my life. I've experienced the joy of the Lord. I've got a longing inside of me for spiritual things that I never had a longing for before. You say, what is that, preacher? That is the wind. That is the Holy Spirit. That is the leading of the Holy Ghost in my life that testifies to me every day, you have been born again. Amen. So he says, I'll give you an illustration. It's a new birth. You want to understand salvation? It's like the wind. You can't see it and understand it, but you can feel it and experience it. He said, I'll give you an illustration. You want to understand salvation? He said, it's like the brazen serpent. I appreciate the honesty of Nicodemus in our text. Jesus, verse number 8, says it's like the wind. Can't see it, you don't see it go, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. In verse number 9, I appreciate Nicodemus' honesty when he said, how can these things be? Nicodemus wasn't questioning Christ in that passage. He's just wanting to know how to get it, how to experience it. How can these things be? Jesus gives him another illustration. It's in verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. How is salvation possible? Well, as Moses lifted up the serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I have no doubt in my mind that Nicodemus was familiar with Ezekiel and his dry bones. And I am just as confident that Nicodemus was familiar with Moses and the brazen serpent in Numbers chapter 21. In Numbers chapter 21, the children of Israel were murmuring and they were complaining as they often did. And God said, enough's enough. He had heard the complaining long enough. And the Bible said that God sent fiery serpents among them. These fiery serpents come upon the children of Israel and they were biting them. And as they were bitten, they would die. That's a story of judgment. But I want you to see a couple things. The story of the brazen serpents, not only a story of judgment, but it's a story of grace. He said, how can these things be? How can we be born again? Jesus said, well, it starts with grace. You say, well, how do you find grace in the story of the brazen serpent? I want you to picture this with me. The Bible says that in heaven, there's a God and he is bringing judgment upon humanity for sin. They were rebels. They were murmurers. They were complainers. God was giving them good things, but it was never enough. They were complaining, and God is sending fiery serpents of judgment upon them. So here is God sending judgment, and here is man being judged because of their sin. But the Bible says, as the serpents come upon them, Moses goes to God in prayer, and God in goodness and grace says, here's what you do, Moses. You stand above the people, you hold up a brazen serpent, and anybody that looks to that serpent can be saved and live. That is a picture of grace. Here is God giving judgment that man deserves, and down here is man receiving the judgment that they deserve. But when Moses prayed, God provided a man with a serpent on a pole and said, I will give you a way to escape judgment. God could have said to Moses, no, they deserve to be punished. They deserve to die. But God in grace and goodness provided a method and a means by which they could escape that judgment. That is grace, friend. That is grace. I'm going to say something right here, and you say amen when I say it. You and me, we were dirty, rotten sinners. We were rebels. We were murmurers. We were disobedient. We deserved every bit of judgment that God sent our way. You say, I was a pretty good person. You've deceived yourself. When you compare yourself against the holy standard of God, you are a dirty sinner. All your righteousness was filthy rags, the scripture says. You deserved every bit of judgment, but there was a God in heaven full of grace and mercy, and He gave you something that you did not deserve. He gave you a method and a means by which you could escape the judgment of God. That's grace, friend. That's grace. You say, what's grace, preacher? It's when God does not give you what you deserve. And He gave you something that you didn't deserve. He gave you His Son. This is a story of grace, but it's also a story of faith. It's a story of faith. I've told you this before. If maybe you might remember this, but I see faith in this passage of Scripture. Now I want you to use your imagination with me, okay? Fiery serpents have entered the camp. People are being bit. People are dying all around you. Everywhere you look, there are serpents. And you don't want to be the next one bit. Here's Moses, the man of God. He's got this serpent on a pole. And he's saying, if you want to escape judgment, look at the serpent. That's what he keeps saying. Now, Brother Lee, if I'm in the camp and there's fiery serpents all around the ground biting people and they're dying, guess where I'm looking? I'm looking right here. That's where I'm looking. I'm looking right here because I don't want to be the next dude bit, the next guy dying. I don't want to be that guy. So I'm looking here, and Moses is saying, look here. If I look here, I have to take my eyes off where all the fiery serpents are. You know what it's going to take for me to get my eyes off of here and put my eyes up here? It is going to take faith that I believe what the man of God's saying. Look and live. Look and live. It's going to take faith for me to stop looking here and to start looking here. It's a story of grace. God gave us something we didn't deserve, and it's a story of faith. Get your eyes off the world. Get your eyes on Jesus. Paul would later say in the book of Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. God gave us Jesus Christ. He was lifted up. He said, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus was lifted up on Calvary. We did not deserve that. That was a picture of the grace of God. God giving us what we don't deserve. And then the way of salvation is when we just look to Him in faith. With our hearts, we turn to Him. We accept Him. That is how, Nicodemus, that is how. Just like they looked and they lived in Numbers 21. All those that look to Jesus Christ can and will live. Amen. Oh yeah, it's a story of faith. I think we can see the picture. Jesus was lifted up on the cross. Jesus was lifted up in His resurrection. And all that look to Him can be born again. That's what John 3:16 is all about. John 3:16 says that God loved you in your sin while you were a sinner. God loved you. You were in the camp receiving the judgment that you deserved. You deserve that judgment, but God loved you. And so He gave His Son to die in your place. Verse 18 says that God didn't come into the world to condemn you. You know why God didn't come to condemn us? Because we were condemned already. God came to save us. He said it's like the wind, Nicodemus. It's like the new birth. It's like that brazen serpent. So I see the symbology in the text. And then last of all, and I'm done for tonight, I see the struggle in the text. I see the struggle. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they were wrought in God. John, when he began this gospel, began this way in John 1, 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus now takes that illustration and explains that salvation is like light. the reason that a man or a woman would not come to Jesus Christ for salvation and remain unsaved is because, well, they love the darkness more than they do the light. I mentioned to you this morning that nighttime is one of the times that we struggle the most, but nighttime is also a period of time when people sin the most. People do things under the cover of darkness that they would not do during the day. People that have things hidden in the dark corners of their heart that they don't want anybody to know about. And so they don't want to come to Christ because, well, they're afraid that Christ is going to deal with those things, and they don't want to deal with them. They'd rather keep them hidden. They'd rather keep them buried. In fact, I'll say this. There are people that have been saved, and after salvation have sinned, have stumbled, have done things wrong, and they try to hide in the darkness. They run from God. They run from the church. They run from preaching because they've got things buried there. Now, the wonderful thing about the light is that when we come to the light and we do expose ourselves, open ourselves up to God, God doesn't shame us for those sins and those things that we've done wrong. You know what God does? He offers us forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we bring our faults and our failures to the Lord, the devil says, don't do that. What's everybody going to think about you? God's not going to accept you. You can never move on from that. You've done that too many times. You messed up too much. But when we do bring them to God, we find forgiveness. We find favor. We find love. Jesus said, here's the struggle. Some men love darkness more than they do light. And so they won't come because they're afraid their deeds should be made manifest. Now here's something I actually thought about sitting right up here before service tonight. You think about who Jesus was preaching this sermon to. It was Nicodemus. Now I'm going to guess Nicodemus probably didn't have a whole lot of sins in his life. He was a Pharisee. He lived by the strictest codes of conduct. So he probably didn't have any open, glaring, ugly sins. Maybe he did. I don't know. But I know this. I know that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He come in the darkness. He didn't want to be seen. He didn't want to be found out. What would everybody think if somebody like Nicodemus said, I'm not saved and I want to accept Jesus as my Savior? What would everybody think about Nicodemus? So he comes at night. I believe Nicodemus will get saved. I don't know if he does in this passage or if he does later, but I know that after the death of Christ, Nicodemus steps forward and he says, I can't stay in the darkness any longer. The night doesn't work anymore. I believe. Let me tell you what some people do. Some people, and I'm not saying that this is the case here, but you just stay with me for a minute. Some people are a lot like Nicodemus. They're religious. They profess religion. But in their heart, they know they're not saved. They've never had that experience where they come to Christ and by faith said, I want you to save me. They've never had that. But what they'll do is they'll come to church and they'll hide in the darkness of their heart. They don't want to step out. They don't want to let anybody know it because then their deeds would be made manifest. It would be revealed that they weren't saved. Jesus said, here's what's going to keep a lot of people from salvation. What's going to keep a lot of people from salvation is that they want to stay in the dark. Nicodemus, if you're going to be born again, you're going to have to step out into the light. Nicodemus, if you're going to be born again, you can't hide anymore. Nicodemus, if you're going to be born again, you are going to have to take that step and accept Christ. Doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. It doesn't matter what everybody else says. You must be born again. Now, here's the wonderful thing. The wonderful thing is when we step into the light again, we find forgiveness, we find salvation, we find a relationship with Jesus Christ. The people that you say, I wonder what they're going to think, they come to you with a smile on their face and they say, we're so excited for you, we're so happy for you, we're so glad that you finally got saved. But the devil doesn't tell you that story. The devil says, stay in the light. Or stay in the darkness. Stay in the darkness. And Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, you must be born again. Let's give one more invitation today. Let's just pray. Brother Scott, I want you this time to get us a song. If somebody wants to come pray, they can. Somebody's listening by the way of the internet. They're unsaved. They can always reach out to us. Find somebody to help them. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. If you need to come while he sings, you do that. Maybe you want to come pray for somebody. That'd be good too. Whatever the need is.